The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
It's time for It's Your Money with certified public accountant and debt elimination counselor Nick Simonick. Simonick & Associates accounting firm focuses on providing clients with professional services, including tax return preparation and tax planning,
business planning and development, accounting, payroll, federal and state agencies, paperwork preparation, retirement planning, church and nonprofit services. Nick's personal passion is to help average everyday people just like you become financially independent by applying biblical principles to debt elimination and wealth accumulation by walking through the process of exchanging their indebtedness with savings. And now, here's Nick Simonick.
Surprise, surprise.
Hey, I'm Roger, along with Sean Simonick. Almost called you by your nickname that you used on the radio eons ago.
The Z-Man.
The Z-Man. But we're here talking about money today. Nick's not in.
Surprise, surprise. Again.
Yeah, but, you know, happy for him. Taking a little bit of R&R before tax season gets hot and heavy.
Yeah, it's end of the year. He's taking his end of the year trip, but he worked really hard leading up to be able to take a few days or several days off this time.
And you work with him every day.
Every day.
So you know what time he gets there, how much work he takes on with him every day, what time
and him
he leaves.
Calling me at 10 o'clock at night almost every night.
Hey, really?
What about
he
this
works
client?
That
what about
late?
That client? Yeah, he takes his work home with him every night.
Wow.
Yeah. He's one of a kind. I can't work like that. No. That's just too much.
Sometimes you don't have a choice.
That's true.
Anyway.
Yeah, depending on time of year and what we got going on. But it's always fun working with him.
No. But the help still continues, even though Nick's not here. Sean, partner with Simonick, Ratnick & Associates, is here to talk about finances today. And Sean, you wanted to talk about the backbone of the economy, as it were.
I did. The backbone of the economy, and that would be the small business owner. Anywhere from landscape companies to construction companies to pool cleaning services, air condition repairmen, the small business is what drives our economy. And a lot of small businesses are, you know, one-man shows, some of them two-man shows or woman, and they fail to recognize the need for payroll. They say, well, I'm the owner, I'm the only guy working. And I just take money out of the company when I need it in distributions, and I pay my income tax at the end of every year. Well, the IRS has caught on to that little scenario, if you will. And
they don't like it.
They don't like it. So they're doing what's called compensation analysis on small business owners. And if they deem that you should have been taking a salary throughout the entire year, there's a $5,000 penalty.
Wow.
Yeah. So it can be exorbitant. And then they'll hit you for the back payroll taxes that you owed.
Interesting.
Based on what they think you should have paid yourself.
Right.
So not only do you owe them the taxes, you'll owe them the penalty for not setting up a payroll. And this is something this time of year that I hear from a lot of my clients. I'm like, well, you know, what was your payroll all year? Well, I didn't do a payroll. I just took money out of the company as I saw fit.
Right.
Most of them are S corporations. That's what we're focusing on here is S corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is there's a big difference between income tax and payroll taxes. And a lot of people don't understand how that works. And it gets very cumbersome and voluminous, and it's the elephant in the room, and they don't want to deal with it. Payroll taxes are your Social Security and Medicare taxes that everybody pays that works for an employer. So you get your W-2. And on your W-2, you'll have your total wages. In box two is your federal withholding. That's your income tax. That's what you file on April 15th with the government to show how much income tax you paid based on your tax bracket, which is what they're debating in Congress right now with the new tax plan.
That's what most people think of when they do their 1040s every year.
Right.
But there's another one called payroll tax that's part of it. It has nothing to do with income tax, right?
Correct.
Wow.
That is your Social Security and Medicare, which is 7.65%. And that's to take care of the poor widows and orphans, welfare, and the government uses it to fund, you know, Social Security benefits for retirees and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has to pay into the system. That's your payroll tax. As an employer, you have to match your employees' payroll taxes dollar for dollar. So let's say I have an employee working for me, and he pays $100 in payroll taxes out of his paycheck. I actually have to pay the government as an employer $200. So the employee pays the payroll tax and the employer pays the payroll tax. That's why they're so adamant about small business owners paying their payroll taxes, because as an employer, you got to pay it twice.
I see.
See?
So you have to pay it for both the employee, which could be yourself.
Right.
Then and you have to pay it again as the employee. So it's not just 7.5, it's 15%,
right? It ends at 15.3%.
Okay.
So what happens is at the end of every quarter, you have to file a payroll tax return, which is a 941, which summarizes everything you paid during the quarter. And at the end of the year, you do a 940, and then, you know, you end up with all these different tax returns that you have to do, and it gets complicated, and people don't understand it. So they say, I don't want to deal with payroll. I'm just going to take distributions. But if you're taking $60,000 in distributions, the IRS is going to say you should have been taking a salary commensurate with your industry. So let's say you're a pool cleaning service.
Okay.
And you're a small operation. You've only got a handful of clients, a couple dozen, and you do it mostly all yourself. One man show. Occasionally you'll hire some outside help contract during the summertime to help you knock out work, but you're paying them 1099. So you really don't have any payroll. But at the end of the year, you've been paying yourself in distributions, which is money you just took out of the company, and it's $50,000. Well, the IRS is going to look at your activity and say, look, pool companies your size, even though they're one-man shows, the owner of that company is an employee and should have been paying themselves, let's say, $40,000 a year in salary. So even though you need 50 to cover your expenses and living expenses and your mortgage, you should set up.
And you're bringing in 50, hypothetically speaking, right, or even more.
And you're taking home 50.
Okay.
You'll want to set up a salary of at least 40.
Right.
And maximize your federal withholding to cover the income tax that you're going to owe on the money that you took out of the company, and pay your payroll taxes as you go. That'll avoid the IRS looking at you, scrutinizing your company, mm-hmm. penalizing you for not paying your payroll taxes, and not fining you $5,000.
Now, what do you do with the extra $10,000 that's in the account? You can still pay yourself that, I'm assuming, right?
Right. You can take as a small business owner and as an S-Corp, the income is available to the owners to do with what they want.
Okay. So and you can write yourself another check for that and call
right,
it a bonus.
As you need money. So what I end up doing for clients is I set up what's called a salary structure. And the salary structure isn't designed for them to live off of. It's designed for taxes. It's designed to cover your income tax that you owe on the money that you make, and to cover your payroll taxes that you owe the government. And I structure that as a one-time paycheck every month just to cover taxes. So the net effect of that check is really negligible. It's only a couple $100 that they put in their bank account. But the money that they need for expenses to cover their electrical bill, their cable bill, food, gas, all their living expenses, they can take as distributions like they normally have throughout the month. We just set up what's called a salary structure to safeguard them against the taxes that they're going to owe and penalties associated with not paying payroll taxes. So we can get into some numbers and some examples if you want, but I really wanted people out there to know, because I get a lot of businesses that say, you know, I didn't do any payroll this year. Mm-hmm. And then come April 15th, they're subject to self-employment tax, which is the payroll taxes, Social Security, Medicare, and all the money they made.
Mm-hmm.
And they owe the federal withholding that they should have taken out in federal income tax. So come April 15th, they got to write the IRS a check for $10,000, $15,000 all at one time.
Right.
So to strategize for your taxes accordingly and effectively, you'll want to spread that out over the year. So the salary structure is designed to do that. So at the end, come April, hopefully you break even and you don't owe any money.
And with the penalty, that's money gone forever. That's not even something you would normally have to pay.
Right.
If you had it set properly.
Right. So it's really important to find a good accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Have them structure a salary structure for you and get your tax planning in order so that you don't get caught behind the eight ball come April 15th and have to pay a whole bunch of money and possibly a penalty
mm-hmm.
for not paying as you go.
Particularly all at one time, which can take a major hit into the household
exactly.
budget.
And with small business owners, cash flow is always an issue, and they don't have the cash come April to pay that big tax bill. So then they got to set up payment plans with the IRS, and then year to year, they're always playing catch up. And by the time they file the next year's return, they're still paying on the prior years and they can never catch up.
Okay. It's Your Money. Sean Simonick filling in for Nick. If you've got a question at all, feel free to call in this afternoon at 904-222-TALK, 904-222-TALK. We'll be back with more of It's Your Money on WBOB. For your professional financial services needs, Simonick & Associates is here to help.
We provide everything from financial planning, debt elimination, business valuations, mom and pop shops, to lawyers, doctors, dentists, small business owners, tugboat companies, you name it, we can do it. We do consulting for QuickBooks, software installation and troubleshooting, business development, team advisory boards, client advisory boards. We run the gamut on any kind of service you would need financially, except investment advice, because we feel that we're your most trusted advisor, and we don't want any clients looking at us like we're getting a commission or a kickback from any products we may be selling. So that's the only area we stay out of. Other than that, we offer services and solutions for anything you can think of financially.
Call Simonick & Associates at 904-928-1040. That's 904-928-1040, or online at Simonick.net.
It's Your Money with Nick Simonick is brought to you by O&O Construction Company, General Contractor. When it's time to do those needed home improvements, let O&O Construction do the work. They're experts in everything: bathroom remodeling, flooring, brick and stone driveway installations, room and building additions, kitchen remodeling, home theater construction, pools and deck construction and repairs. O&O Construction Company does it all. They handle the larger projects too: apartment building construction, custom home construction and demolition services. If we forgot to mention your project, yep, they can do that too. Quality work and competitively priced. Give them a call at 904-783-9479. That's 904-783-9479.
It's Your Money with Nick Simonick is brought to you by Security Center USA.
We offer a wide variety of products and services to fit not only your budget, but also the needs of the home at a fraction of the price. The safety of your family and your home is the dominant reason we exist.
One of the most important decisions you can make is how to provide the best protection for your family and home. Security Center USA uses a customized approach, offering protection from home invasions, burglary, vehicle theft, fire and medical alert, high-definition surveillance, video intercom, and GPS systems, just to name a few.
Your home security, your video surveillance, and your home automation, lights, locks, thermostats, life safety devices such as smoke detectors, carbon detectors, heat sensors, all-inclusive, one mobile app, super user-friendly. The best part, $12.95 is where the rates start at from a monthly perspective, and there is not a company I'm aware of in the country that can even get close to those rates.
Learn more at SecurityCenterUSA.com.
John and Kate Hatfield, husband and wife, are both Florida barred attorneys. Practicing as the consumer law firm since 2007, they focus on personal injury cases, specifically car accidents, slip and falls, and also help people with traffic tickets or issues suspending driver's licenses. Here are some important consumer tips. If you were involved in an accident, seek medical treatment within 14 days to make sure you're entitled to your PIP, no-fault medical benefits for medical bills, prescription reimbursement, and lost wages. Just because you received the ticket does not mean you're at fault. Seek counsel in those situations. It's also very important you check to make sure you have UM, or uninsured motorist, on your automobile insurance policy. This protects you against people driving around without proper insurance. Call John and Kate Hatfield, attorneys at law, for a free consultation. 904-446-9990. Office located downtown Jacksonville, with free convenient parking.
It's Your Money with Nick Simonick is being brought to you in part by E.R. Musa, attorney at law. The law office of E.R. Musa, PA, provides comprehensive legal services in the areas of bankruptcy, debt defense, and credit rebuilding. Whether you're looking to file Chapter 7 or Chapter 13 bankruptcy, or have questions regarding uncontrollable debt, the law office of E.R. Musa is here to help. The law office of E.R. Musa is centrally located in the San Jose Lakewood area with plenty of free parking. They accept most major prepaid and employee benefit legal plans in North Florida, covering thousands of employees and their families. They also accept major credit cards. Since 1985, E.R. Musa has handled over 1,500 bankruptcies, and they all began with a no-cost, no-obligation initial consultation. Call 904-296-7704. That's 904-296-7704. Or visit MoussaLaw.com. That's MoussaLaw.com. Non-attorney spokesperson, offices Jacksonville. Welcome back to It's Your Money with certified public accountant Nick Semenik. Nick out today, his partner Sean Semenik of the CPA firm of Semenik, Semenik, Ratnick & Associates. And today for Nick, who's on a pre-tax season, well-deserved vacation right now.
He's playing. He always gets to play.
Somewhere at an undisclosed location in international waters.
But they did pay for international free texting.
Oh, really?
Unlimited texting.
I wouldn't have done it.
It's my mother, actually.
No internet, no text message when I'm at sea.
I would think, unplug.
That's what I like about cruises. Nobody can bug you.
They find a way.
Okay. We've got Sherry on the line with a very important question for us today. Hello,
hi, Sherry.
What's your question?
I'm a new realtor, and I just wondered what's the best thing to set up for tax purposes. Do I set myself up as a PA or just run it through my taxes normally? What would you recommend?
That's a loaded question, but it depends on your level of activity, how much time you're putting into the company, how much revenue you're generating, how many transactions you're doing, and what your personal exposure is going to be. Because when you incorporate, whether it's an LLC or an S corporation, you're going to take on a bigger financial burden because there's the application process. There's the fees involved with that, fees to the state. If you go the S corporation route, you have a new entity, federal ID number. It's its own entity in the government's eyes. You have a whole nother tax return that you have to be responsible for. So what you have to do is really weigh the pros and cons, benefits and risk, because to structure each one is basically just to protect your personal assets. So you're not on the hook liable in case something happens. They can't come after your car, your home, your retirement, things like that. So what I would do is you can call our office or call a corporate attorney and get a breakdown of all the fees that are involved, the state fees, the filing fees, what the application process is, and you would start there, and that way you can determine, all right, this is going to cost me X number of dollars a year. Am I generating significant revenue to cover that cost? And what's my liability exposure right now? Does it warrant me incorporating?
So is a PA the same thing as an S or C corp?
That's all in the naming. You can do an S corporation with the initials PA, private association. You can do a single member LLC with a partnership agreement, which... is a lengthier process, but a simpler on the back end. It's simpler to do your taxes that way because that would flow through to your personal return as opposed to having an 1120S tax return. But with once you start that, you'll want to, like I was saying earlier, start looking at payroll because once you have a separate business entity, they're going to start looking at that and looking whether or not you have payroll on record. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. So if I'm just doing, maybe $10,000 or $15,000 in commissions for a year, it's probably better just to keep it on my regular taxes.
I would. Right now you're a Schedule C sole proprietor, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And with that level of activity, I would calculate what your effective tax rate was the prior year. And let's say you're in the 13 or 15% tax bracket. Calculate the tax effect on the income you're generating from your real estate venture and make an estimated payment once or twice a year, preferably four times a year, once a quarter, to pay the taxes on the revenue that you're generating. Because it's a bigger hit at the end of the year when you file your tax return, depending on what expenses you have to offset the income from that Schedule C, you'll want to make sure you have paid something in income tax for that. Make sense?
It does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for the question.
You too.
Great call, Sherry. One thing I'm thinking about, too, is, you talked about the protection from liability. If she does not incorporate at this time, LLC or S-Corp, I know you're not an attorney, but if you had been in that situation, mm-hmm. in light of the fact that, you know, things could go wrong with real estate, you know, someone may have a claim or a lien on the property that the seller mm-hmm. or the buyer may not have been aware, or maybe a new foundation was poured and it's junky dirt underneath and now the foundation's starting to crack, right, or whatever. Right. You think it might be a good idea if you were in that situation to maybe get some liability insurance on top of incorporating, absolutely. Or instead of incorporating.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good too.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what the incorporating is designed to do for situations exactly like that. Right. Roger, that was a good example. And it protects her personally from liability.
Right. In addition to that, she's possibly protecting her clients as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right. If you got a question for Sean this afternoon, the number is 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. It's Your Money is on the air, and Nick's out. But Sean, man, you're giving us some really good information. I've been learning things today, and I'm sure our friends listening this afternoon have as well. So, lesson number one, income tax and payroll tax, two different things.
Yeah, and I can't stress that enough because that does not click with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you say taxes, that's just my taxes. And they don't understand the breakdown between the two. Now, as an employer, you have to worry about other taxes as well, state unemployment tax, things like that, based on if anybody's filed unemployment against you, and the state starts out at 2.4%. And then if no one files any unemployment against you, after a year, it drops down to 1%. And that's only on the first $7,000 of revenue that you've earned.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. All right. Wonderful. Let me ask you this. A lot mm-hmm. of people maybe have sometimes called a side hustle or freelance work they do on the mm-hmm. side. They've got a regular job. They work for some place like Semenik and Associates. Of course, you guys have a policy where they can't do accounting work.
Yeah.
But maybe they do something on the side for fun. It brings in some extra money. How should that be handled with respect to incorporating, if at all? And the tax payments and the payroll taxes, et cetera.
Okay. Well, when it comes to moonlighting and other ventures, the IRS requires you to disclose all your income no matter what the source is. So even if you're gambling, if you're selling drugs, they even if you're doing illegal activity, they want you to report that income.
Okay,
so
anyone's curious, I won't be selling drugs.
Okay, I won't either.
Good for you. I'm proud of you,
but,
Sean.
Yeah, somebody's side business. I got to claim this rock.
You know, I have a friend who...
do I have to maintain inventory?
Who at one point was working for the IRS, and he told me that because of the Privacy Act, the laws of the federal government,
they can't
someone
disclose.
Could write down, what do you do? I sell ecstasy on their tax form, mm-hmm. and they are prohibited by law from reporting that to the FBI or the Drug Enforcement Administration.
They are, but leaks happen, but they require you to disclose all forms of income no matter where it comes from.
Okay.
And, of course, if they're in illegal activity, they're not going to do that. And that brings in what we talked about prior with offshore accounts and things like that. And it gets all complex and convoluted. Mm-hmm. But like we were saying, incorporating, you...
Are the payroll taxes required for freelance work? I guess so, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, well, yes and no. It depends on what you're doing and how much you're generating.
All right.
But, you know, there's a lot of contractors out there that are just 1099 contract employees for several different organizations. And they don't work as a W-2'd employee for anybody.
All right.
So, and there's a lot of real estate people that hire contractors that do that. They're real estate agents and they're all 1099. That's fine as long as that individual holds themselves out to the general public for the same services. So if I'm a real estate agent for you, I got to be able to be a real estate agent for Calvin or Teresa or somebody if they're selling houses. I can't just work for you exclusively and you pay me 1099 without paying payroll taxes.
I
have to be able to be available to them, not necessarily that I have to sell homes for them, but if they want me to, I have to be able to do that for them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
All right. Really good information. If you've got a question or a call for Sean, 904-222-TALK is the number. That's 904-222-8255. And we're kind of going to shift gears during the second hour of It's Your Money with a very important topic, possibly filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah. We got a special guest.
Right, with an attorney. It's coming up next right here on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. to It's Your Money. I'm Roger Henderson along with Sean Simonick. Nick is out in the wild blue yonder right now.
Decidedly out of the country.
You know, my kids and I were talking recently, one of my daughters, about cruises. And, that, you know, I love them because it's the one vacation I can go on where I'm really on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, and they understand that, you know, you know, wife can't send me out there running there and this, that, and the other, whatever, station can't call in. But she says she's tired of them. And Nick is probably like me. He likes cruises, too.
He loves them. And my mother, they just, that's what they love to do. Okay. And they do that more than they do anything else.
But in the meantime, you know, the radio program continues and the help to people with their finances has to continue.
The show, Sean, must go on.
Exactly. And Sean, we've got a guest with us right now, right?
We do. We have Issa Musa. He's an attorney here in Jacksonville specializing in all kinds of stuff, specifically bankruptcy. And he helps Nick out, and he came in to tackle the last half of this hour. We're going to shift gears and start talking about bankruptcy and things like that. We did have a question about income and what the definition of income was. And a lot of people get income and wages mixed up. Income is kind of an all-encompassing term that people think, oh, what's your income? Income is technically the gain on capital assets and things like that. What you get paid is your wages.
Interesting. Okay.
So technically, it's an interchangeable at this point because of the vernacular, but they are two separate things.
Legally, wages and income are not the same thing.
Correct.
Income is any money you get. Wages is what you get from an employer.
What you get paid for work.
Exactly. And does not include your rental property. The rent you receive. That is income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, that's income. So, yes, income and there's wages.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're learning.
So, well, we can tackle that because that's a deep subject, and we can spend a whole hour talking about income and wages and the tax effect of both.
Okay.
Because then you got capital gains taxes and your income tax, and it gets complicated.
You need an accounting firm to help out with this kind of stuff.
I know a good one, by the way.
Okay, their number's 904-928-1040.
Look at that off the top of his head, folks. All right, Issa, let's talk about bankruptcy. How are you today?
Good, thank you. It's good to be back. I was here last month. I had a great time, and I'm glad to be back again.
Good. Glad to have you.
Yes.
So you wrote this nifty little book that I read called 10 Things You Never Do Before Filing Bankruptcy.
Yes.
And that was really eye-opening because I deal with a lot of clients. And some of them are struggling financially. They fell on hard times. A lot of it was 2009, 10, after the last downturn, depending on what industry they were in, and their income dried up and their wages stopped and, they didn't know where to go. So, and they didn't know what to do. And one of the things that I heard the most was, well, I can't file bankruptcy because it looks bad. It's negative. My pastor won't approve. My family won't approve. I don't want the stigma associated with bankruptcy.
Right.
And you wrote another little piece here called Rebuilding Your Life After Bankruptcy. And in it, you talked about bankruptcy, working through bankruptcy, actually having bankruptcy as a new life starter instead of approaching it in a negative aspect.
That's correct.
You're approaching it positively. You're turning a new leaf. You talked about opening at least 3 new credit cards and the line of credit, or what was it? It's not a line of credit.
Well, there's various ways of doing that. But what I'm saying is the worst thing you can do after you file bankruptcy is to do nothing at all. I hear that all the time. Sometimes people says, I'm going to tear up every credit card I have. I'm never going to get anything on credit again. That, in theory, that sounds good, but in reality, your credit score is based on a variety of factors, and the major factor that it's based on is the most recent activities. The most, if you have, you know, good recent activities, that's what helps raise your credit score. So if all you got is just the bankruptcy that sits there on your credit report for
ten years.
Yeah, sit for 10 years in a Chapter 7, and nothing else around it, then it's going to take you a lot longer to get over 700 if you start off, you know, in the low 600s to high 500s.
And that was one of the keys you talked about in the 7 steps to 720.
Yes.
In here. And that was people's mentality is, oh, I have a bankruptcy. I have to wait till it drops off my report. And you're saying, look, you need to start now.
Right. Because let me just say this real quick. Sometimes the most common question I get is, won't bankruptcy ruin my credit? Mm-hmm. And I usually tell them, hey, by the time you get to me, your credit's pretty much already ruined.
I was just going to say that. There's nowhere else to go but up.
Yeah, right? And it is true. It is true because, you know, I've done, you know, in the ad you hear, I said over 1,500, but frankly, I think it's over 2,500. And no one can really tell me how many bankruptcies I did because I started back in 1986. And they just can't go back statistically to tell me how many I filed in 1987. But anyway.
That long ago? Wow. What were you, like 5 years old when you did that? You look great.
He was seven.
Thank God I've been practicing for over 32 years. But anyway, what I was saying, the most common question is, well, won't it ruin my credit? And I always mm-hmm. say, well, listen, if you're starting off with a really, really great credit score, I'm talking about, I've had a client who started off with a 770.
Okay? Wow.
And he paid everything on time, but he just says, listen, I'm paying out almost $3,000 a month, and I just can't do it anymore. I have no money left over. I really need I decided I want to file bankruptcy, and we looked at all the options. We said that's probably the better thing to do. I told him, yeah, you will take an initial hit with a credit score like that, and it did mm-hmm. go down. It went down to 680, but within 6 months, it was over 730 again.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, a lot of times I did an informal study. I went back and looked at about 50 of my clients, because we pull a credit report every time they file.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start off with a poor credit score anyway, just by the act of filing bankruptcy, it would normally increase your credit score, because what you're doing is clearing up all that old rotting away credit sitting in your credit report.
That's mm-hmm. interesting. So filing bankruptcy will cause your credit score to go up.
For some people. Not
okay,
everybody
not everyone.
Now.
Okay.
But for most people come in. I mean, I've seen some. If you have, you know, 90-day late, you have a repossession, and you have a foreclosure sitting there, you have all these old things sitting rotting. I say it's rotting away in your credit report. Mm-hmm. By the act of the bankruptcy of clearing all up, because remember how I said your credit score is based on the most recent activity. So if that's not there anymore, that's no longer a factor. The only thing that's a factor is the bankruptcy itself. And contrary to what a lot of these, I call them kind of shady characters out there, say, we can make the bankruptcy go away off your credit report. It's there for 7 years, years. But what we do is build good, proper credit around the bankruptcy, sort of like a wall.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why. Once you do that, and I'm not talking about getting in additional debt. I mean, a good example is you can get a good low credit card with maybe a $500 mm-hmm. credit limit, you know, buy your groceries with it, buy some other things with it, then pay it off the 2 weeks afterwards, so that really you show that you've used it, you paid it off on time. And after a while, that builds it up.
So that was another thing you addressed, was don't just open them and not use them.
Right.
It's the activity that the reporting agencies want to see, that you're able to manage your credit effectively.
Correct. But also, I don't want you to fall back in the same patterns, because that's what happens to a lot of people.
Right.
All of a sudden, they say, hey, I got this nice credit card, and they go back to the same old habits, and we don't want you to fall back there again. There's also other ways, too. I mean, sometimes people say, well, what about if I can't keep my car, or I may have to lose my car? We do have resources through our office where we can actually finance you to buy either a new car or a very recent model of a car.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you know, most of them right now, they're buying between 2013s to 2016s, right after you file bankruptcy. And often what happens is, and your credit and your interest rate depends. It depends on where you started off with. It can be anywhere from 9% to 15%. But frankly, most people who come in here, who they are paying that much anyway. And the good thing about that is, once you have about a year's worth of payments, you can and you build up your credit, like we talked about before, mm-hmm. by showing you're making your car payments on time. I've had many people refinance or getting into another car for the 2 or 3% or they're used to. So
but one of the things you don't want them to do is go out, since they freed up their cash flow, and buy a brand new car on their own.
That's correct. But what I'm saying is your life is not going to be ruined if you have to file bankruptcy. Yes, you can get new credit cards. You can finance a car. You can even finance a home. Sometimes it takes you got to get your credit score up. I've talked to some mortgage brokers. They said they'd like to see anywhere between 670, 680 credit score.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to wait a year to 2 to 3 years if you want to qualify.
Okay. You know. Really good information. Maybe you've got a question this afternoon on It's Your Money. Feel free to call in at 904-222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. Man, I've been learning so much today about finances, like your credit score can possibly go up the day you file bankruptcy.
It possibly can. And I have a couple of questions I wanted to ask you that clients have brought to my attention in their personal situations on whether they should do a 7 or 13, depending on what their current situation is.
No problem.
And what kind of sacrifices they have to make in their own life pertaining to charitable contributions and extracurricular activities for their kids and things like that. So I'm going to throw some of those questions out when we get back.
Right. Plus your questions, again, our number, 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. And we will be back with more of It's Your Money here on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. For your professional financial services needs, Seminick & Associates is here to help.
We provide everything from financial planning, debt elimination, business valuations, mom and pop shops, to lawyers, doctors, dentists, small business owners, tugboat companies, you name it, we can do it. We do consulting for QuickBooks, software installation and troubleshooting, business development, team advisory boards, client advisory boards. We run the gamut on any kind of service you would need financially except investment advice, because we feel that we're your most trusted advisor, and we don't want any clients looking at us like we're getting a commission or a kickback from any products we may be selling. So that's the only area we stay out of. Other than that, we offer services and solutions for anything you can think of financially.
Call Semitic & Associates at 904-928-1040. That's 904-928-1040. Or online at Semitic.net.
It's Your Money with Nick Semenik is brought to you by O&O Construction Company, General Contractor. When it's time to do those needed home improvements, let O&O Construction do the work. They're experts in everything: bathroom remodeling, flooring, brick and stone driveway installations, room and building additions, kitchen remodeling, home theater construction, pools and deck construction and repairs. O&O Construction Company does it all. They handle the larger projects too: apartment building construction, custom home construction and demolition services. If we forgot to mention your project, yep, they can do that too. Quality work and competitively priced. Give them a call at 904-783-9479. That's 904-783-9479.
It's Your Money with Nick Semenik is being brought to you in part by E.R. Musa, Attorney at Law. The law office of E.R. Musa, PA, provides comprehensive legal services in the areas of bankruptcy, debt defense, and credit rebuilding. Whether you're looking to file Chapter 7 or Chapter 13 bankruptcy, or have questions regarding uncontrollable debt, the law office of E.R. Musa is here to help. The law office of E.R. Musa is centrally located in the San Jose Lakewood area with plenty of free parking. They accept most major prepaid and employee benefit legal plans in North Florida, covering thousands of employees and their families. They also accept major credit cards. Since 1985, E.R. Musa has handled over 1,500 bankruptcies, and they all began with a no-cost, no-obligation initial consultation. Call 904-296-7704. That's 904-296-7704. Or visit musalaw.com. That's MOUSALAW.com. Non-attorney spokesperson, offices Jacksonville.
John and Kate Hatfield, husband and wife, are both Florida barred attorneys. Practicing as the consumer law firm since 2007, they focus on personal injury cases, specifically car accidents, slip and falls, and also help people with traffic tickets or issue suspending driver's licenses. Here are some important consumer tips. If you were involved in an accident, seek medical treatment within 14 days to make sure you're entitled to your PIP, no-fault medical benefits for medical bills, prescription reimbursement, and lost wages. Just because you received the ticket does not mean you're at fault. Seek counsel in those situations. It's also very important you check to make sure you have UM, or uninsured motorist, on your automobile insurance policy. This protects you against people driving around without proper insurance. Call John and Kate Hatfield, attorneys at law, for a free consultation. 904-446-9990. Office located downtown Jacksonville with free convenient parking.
It's Your Money with Nick Semenik is brought to you by Security Center USA.
I'm Paul North, Security Center USA. We do electronic security for commercial environments, burglar alarms, intrusion alarms, video surveillance, automation, access control, the assets of the business, the food coming and going out of the doors, and our medicine, productivity, and then again, liability.
Whether it's monitoring the cash register, shoplifting and theft, or vehicle management and misuse, Security Center USA has you covered.
Security as we know it has really evolved so much further from just keeping an eye for robberies and vandalisms and break-ins, and it's certainly great for that, but liability, protection of assets, and getting what you're paying for. We do a ton of 7-Elevens, more State Farm, Allstate, Nationwide, and independent real estate and insurance agencies, and I can even count Bono's Barbecue here in town and Luke Pizza Bar and Grill. I mean, every single one of them are our clients.
Security Center USA, the power of proven protection. Online at securitycenterusa.com. Welcome back to It's Your Money. Sean Semenik in for Nick today, and we're talking about all kind of financial stuff, including bankruptcy. Expert in bankruptcy law, an attorney, is with us today, Sean, and you had some questions, right?
Well, I did, but you wanted to clarify a couple of things.
Yeah, before. Roger, you were saying that your credit score can raise right after you file bankruptcy. Typically, you would have to wait till the bankruptcy in the Chapter 7 is over, or that's when you get your discharge, which is the order the judge signs saying that the debts you want to get rid of are wiped away. Once you get that, then creditors technically have 60 days in which to correct your credit report. And so you're talking maybe about 5 to 7 months after you file your case in a Chapter 7, you should see your credit score going up if you have a lot of negative stuff and it's no longer there. Mm. Doesn't always, but typically that's what happens.
Okay. In the Bible, they have the year of Jubilee, right?
Oh, yeah.
In America, we have the bankruptcy code, right?
Well, and that's true. In fact, that's what...
That was every 7 years they forgive all the debt, right?
Every
7 years. In fact, I wrote a blog about that because that does come up occasionally. I get people who have religious objections to filing bankruptcy, and I always, in fact, I wrote a blog on it. If you go on my website, Musalaw, MUSALAW.com, it's somewhere in there if you dig deep enough. You can find it. I wrote about the year of the Jubilee and everything else, but. What I always tell people, too, is that all the bankruptcy does is says that the creditor can no longer enforce the debt upon you. If you decide sometime after the bankruptcy to pay back part or all the debt, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. But they cannot take you to court and get a judgment against you and force you to pay it.
Interesting. Which, when you were talking about the religious aspect, brought up one of the questions that I hear from some people sometimes is... And it's kind of a two-part question. Say they're overextended, but they're not in foreclosure. They're not really late. They're late occasionally on a couple of things. But they're starting to live off credit cards because there's more month than there is paycheck. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to sacrifice their charitable contributions to their church, the 10% that they give every month. And... they want to know how that plays into a bankruptcy and if they were eligible for it, or do they need to stop paying on their credit cards for a certain amount of time? Do they need to stop paying on their mortgage? Do they need to stop paying on their cars? But continue to pay their 10%.
Right. And that does come up, and it's funny because normally what happens when people come in, I ask them about charitable contributions, mm-hmm. and I love tithers because, frankly, it helps them qualify for a Chapter 7 much easier if they didn't tithe. The reason is because I talked briefly about it last week, but there's a income means test, which there's a test that you have to go through. It's a form, and you fill out information about your income and the number of people living in your household, the types of deductions, to see if you can qualify for a Chapter 7. Mm-hmm. And one of the major items that helps you qualify is charitable contributions, cash charitable contributions. People say, well, I give all my clothes to Goodwill at the end of the year, and that's great, but it doesn't count for the purposes of the means test.
So how would, because in my mind that would be contradictory, if you're giving away cash, how would that help you? Wouldn't they say, well, stop giving it?
It's just the way the bankruptcy code is written. They mm-hmm. say that any charitable contributions within the last 6 months of filing your bankruptcy is an allowable deduction to determine whether you can qualify for a Chapter 7. Mm-hmm. So to answer the question, what often happens, unfortunately, is that's the first thing that people cut out when things go bad. Mm-hmm. They say, yes, I wish I could do the best I can. I used to tithe, but now, you know, I only give, instead of giving $300 a month, I only maybe give $30 a month. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's understandable. People got to determine what they got to do. But if you have a history of tithing or giving to the church or any charitable contributions, cash contributions, that's usually sufficient. They're in the bankruptcy, of course, not going to make you say you got to stop doing that if you file bankruptcy.
Okay, we've got Bill on the line. He's got a question for us this afternoon. Hey, Bill, what's your question?
How you doing, Bill?
I do have a bankruptcy on my credit history, and recently I went to try to get an auto loan, and I found out that my credit score was much different via the credit bureaus versus like Credit Karma. Credit Karma was so much higher, and I don't know why the disparity.
Well, you know, that happens often because different industries use different criteria to determine your credit score, and I've seen that happen before. For instance, when you apply for auto insurance, and I can't tell you what they're, in fact, they always say it's an industry secret, but I'm sure if you
the black book value is an industry secret.
But if you push them hard enough, yeah. I'm sure that they'll tell you why. But to answer your question, yes, that is true. Your credit score on Credit Karma, or even your credit score from the TransUnion, Experian, or Equifax, often differs from the credit score that the auto dealers use. For whatever reason, and that may be the reason why.
Well, you know, they pulled it from Equifax, the gentleman said that it's this number, and one of the reasons why I went into the dealership was because I thought my credit was much better than what he pulled, so I pulled it off of Credit Karma, and I said, well, gee, that's not so bad, And then I got that sad reality from Equifax, which was approximately 120 points lower.
Wow.
And that just blew me away.
Well, sometimes the dealer will give it to you, or if you're denied credit, you have the right to get a copy of your credit report from them, and you definitely need to look at it. And they'll break it down. They'll tell you, what exactly your credit score is based on. And some things are more... have more weight than others. For instance, late payments have more weight than the number of inquiries or things of that mm-hmm. nature. But there may be something that's incorrect. In fact, I've seen wide variations between one credit report and another credit reporting agency. So get a copy of that credit report, and you're entitled to it, and look it over, and you may be able to correct it. And that's about all we can say for right now.
Yeah, I wish there was an industry standard as far as credit.
Unfortunately, there isn't right now.
There's always going to be variances based on timing also.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Okay, great. Man, the hour went by so quickly, we have to wrap up.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, but if you missed any of today's program, you can tune in Saturdays to our sister station, 100.3 The Biz, and hear the encore presentation of It's Your Money.
Hear us twice.
Okay.
Yes. Roger.
5 o'clock Saturdays.
Thanks for coming in, Issa.
Oh, no problem. If anyone needs me, just give us a call or send me an email and we'll take care of it. It's 296-7704 or MusaLaw, MUSALAW.com. Be happy to help you out.
All right, folks. Take care.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us for It's Your Money with Certified Public Accountant Nick Semenik. Semenik & Associates Accounting Firm focuses on providing clients with professional services, including tax return preparation and tax planning, business planning and development, accounting, payroll, federal and state agencies, paperwork preparation, retirement planning, church and nonprofit services. For professional accounting services or to host a Nick Semenik Living Debt-Free Seminar, call 904-928-1040 or visit SemenikCPA.com.